to the Fitz Life Unfiltered podcast with Kim and Jamie Fitzpatrick, former employees turned successful online entrepreneurs, speakers, parents, and couple. Thank you for tuning in. We know your time is valuable, and their goal is to help you live abundantly, provide value and tips on achieving physical, mental, spiritual, and financial wealth while navigating this crazy-ass thing we call life. Are you ready? Let's go!
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back to the Fitz Love. We are super pumped to be here. We have some awesome, awesome topics of conversation today. But one of the things we always love to do before we kick this off is give a little love to anyone that is shouting us out on stories, those that are giving us reviews, whether it be on Google or Spotify. We just appreciate you so much. Every single time, you know, you share our podcast, you are really helping us have more awareness. And every time you give a review and rate it, it also bumps us in the podcast world. And we just appreciate it so much. So we can keep on sharing this message and keep on sharing what we do. So appreciate that. So we're going to kick this one out to user number MacSam87. So MacSam87. Says only the best, 5 stars. Man, Kim and Jamie, I'm loving the podcast. I've been listening since the beginning while doing my 45-minute walk. Episode 91 got me right in my feels. I got choked up and it really put everything into perspective for me. You guys are amazing, funny, and the love and banter you two have between each other is everything. Keep doing what you're doing because you're crushing it. Thank you so much. So reach out to us and I'm going to send you a little code for a gift from Legacy of your choice. It can either be a journal or one of the new headbands. You let me know and we'll get that over to you. So yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. But let's dive into this. So Jamie, I love when you talk to me about, what was it, John Stamos? And you mentioned it the other day. You were very serious. You're like, oh my gosh, I just read this thing from John Stamos and this is what it was. And
is that his name? Stamos?
Yeah.
From
Full House.
Full House, yeah. Bob Saget and him were really good friends, by the way. He and I don't know if he originated this quote, but he said it in his little excerpt from his book. Because he talked a lot about, you know, obviously he's had this crazy wild life as an actor, you know, in this series was, I think it was the most popular series for X amount of time. And he's a good looking guy. Grew up in I think California, Hollywood. So he had this, and then he got into alcohol and I think he got a DUI and stuff like that. But they were talking about confidence and things like that. And he was talking about his mother. And he said that's his, talking about his mom is the one that gets him really emotional. And he said growing up, he said a lot of his confidence and the way he felt about himself, which was fairly positive, was because of his mom. And he said, my mom, and I'm going to bastardize the quote a little bit, but it was something along the lines of my mom loved me so much when I was growing up, I didn't have to learn how to love myself. And it was like, whoa. And I know you have some thoughts on this, Kim.
But you came with the impetus behind that. You said, I think I know the difference between you and I.
That's
what you said.
Yeah. The difference between Kim and I and maybe how we operate, who we are. And obviously, when you say you and I are different, there's a lot of complexities to each human. So we're same in some ways. We're different in a lot of ways. But yeah, in that regard, I think, I guess for me, and we all have our insecurities, and I've shared them on this podcast before, but I had some growing up, and we all do, we're humans, it's just part of, you know, we all flawed human beings, like, that's just how this works. But I think for the most part, I've always been fairly confident in what I do, whether it's sports, business, anything I've tackled, I've done with a fair bit of gusto and not that many fears for the most part. And I think it's probably because of my mom. And it's funny, like we weren't big I love you people. And I've talked about this before. We say it more now, my mom and I, than ever. And even my siblings, it's still a little bit awkward, which is weird to say. But the difference is that I never question whether any of those people, I'm just talking about my immediate family, mom, dad, and my brother and sister, we just know unequivocally how much we love each other. Mm. And through my mom's actions growing up, there was never a shadow, sliver of doubt that we were her main priority. Most of the things she did was, she had her own career, you know, and had her hobbies and friends and stuff like that. And they had a social life, my mom and dad too. But there was never, ever a shadow of a doubt that we were a priority for them. And my mom My brother and sister would say I was spoiled because I was the youngest, but
they called you the king.
They called me the king. I like she.
Because you're the baby.
Yeah,
you're
but
5 years.
I was 5 years
after,
younger, right? And they kind of they paved the way and made all the mistakes for me. So I probably got to do a little bit more than they did, as older kids get to do, or the younger kids. But yeah, I just knew I was so loved, and I knew I was such a priority for her. And you know my mom now. And I think
that just must feel like a warm blanket.
Well, as a child growing up, to never question if the most important people in your life, your mom and dad, to never have to ever question, am I loved? Am I important? Am I valued? Can I come to you for anything? How do you put a value on that? Or how do you put a value on that experience in my life and who I've become? And just that quote for me, it's like, she loved me enough that I didn't have to learn to love myself. And that struck me because it's like, oh, that's why I am. I think the way I am. Sometimes I'm not amazing, not perfect, anything like that. But then I started thinking about you.
But I also started thinking about the things that you've done to yourself that aren't self-loving.
Yes.
So I want to pause you on that.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of listeners being like, wow, that's amazing. But the power I got from that when you shared that about John Stamos is like, yeah, but he turned into an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lack of self-love.
Right.
That is a lack of self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that quote twofold.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was the opposite. I felt the opposite in a lot of my life. I felt the opposite of that. I questioned whether I was loved. I questioned whether I was enough.
Right.
I questioned whether I was important. I questioned all of it. It's hard.
Yeah.
I question all the time. And yeah, my dad, it's great. He says he loves me. Like, I do believe he loves me. I really do.
Yeah.
But there's a real difference between like what you just described is what I feel like I'm working so hard to make sure our kids have.
Mm-hmm.
And that the only way that I'm able to do that, Jamie, because I didn't have that example, and I had it through other things. My grandma, I know, oh my gosh, my family, like there's lots, I'm good,
yeah.
Right? But because I had all these other influences and because I know exactly what it felt like, I didn't have self-love because I didn't have self-love. Like I didn't have love, so I didn't have self-love, which got me into trouble. Mm-hmm. But do you find, and I wonder this about John, it's like, it's still a double-edged sword. What's the better way? I don't know that there's a better way, right? Like either way, like, are you hooped either way? I think you're better off definitely than me. You're a lot more firm, but right? Like, do you think there's been things
in your life? I think you've had to battle harder your whole life to become who you've become than me. I think you've had to battle harder to work through stuff than I have.
And I wonder for anyone that's listening, like how many of this how does this make you feel? Are you relating? Cause I think there's probably two camps, right? Where there's probably a lot of listeners that are like, yeah, Jamie, I totally get that. That's exactly how my family was. Like, and then over here with me, they're like, no, I totally relate. Like that wasn't my reality. Right.
But there's also like in saying that about my mom, we also turn into adults and have to experience life and shit comes in and stressors come in. And I won't say a bad relationship with my father, but an interesting one, you know? And we've talked about it before. So there's probably some of that, any shit that I've personally had to deal with, or some of the dark stuff for me is probably centered around that, you know, and there's definitely generational trauma in my family, especially on my father's side. And a lot of that, he's told me a little bit of it. And then if I'm being brutally honest, he's broken down and he couldn't get through it with me. And he said, I don't want to talk about it anymore. So that's generational trauma from my dad's side. It's funny. I was, you know, brother-in-law, Carl, he was talking about Masters in the Air, the series about World War II bomber pilots. And that's what my grandfather did. And he was killed. He was a belly gunner and he was killed in his first flight in World War II. And that's what that show was about. And it's funny at the end. When the war ends, brutal job the pilot. Like, they, so many of them just got shot down as they were trying bombing missions. And at the end, they actually, their final flight when the war is over and they're going back home, one of their final flights is they actually drop supplies and food to the people in the Netherlands, which is where my mom immigrated from. It was a weird coming together for me when I was watching that scene. It was really emotional.
Wow.
So there's also trauma on my mom's side because they had to move shortly after World War II, and they lived through the war, and then they had to immigrate over to Canada. So they're, you know, me saying that statement, I'm not saying because my mom loved me so much that my life has been perfect, and not at all. But from a confidence standpoint, from as a child, not having to wonder if you're loved, that was the point.
Like
that had a big impact on my life. Now, what happened after that in my adulthood and things I dealt with, that's on me. That's on, like, I have to work through that shit. You know, you still have the things about you that you maybe don't love, but without a question, from a confidence point of view and being pretty firm in where I'm going and my decisions and trusting my intuition for the most part, I think that played a big role.
Wow. I love that. That's cool. And I feel like, how are you bringing
why am I,
that
why am I being interviewed today?
This is great. I actually have this one thing. I'm loving this book by The Wealth Money Can't Buy by Robin Sharma. Mm-hmm. And one that, and they're very like, the thing I love a lot about Robin Sharma, but I like these little books in particular. They're very bite-sized chapters. Mm-hmm. So this one, he says, it's really profound and it's interesting of what we're talking about. I think it really aligns. It says, be the grown up in the room. And he says, this is kind of what it says. The other day I had a profound conversation with someone who had been my friend for 30 years. She shared that her father had recently passed away and her mother had died before him, leading her brother to say, I guess we're the grown ups in the room now. The grown ups in the room. I don't know about you. This is Robin Sharma speaking. I'm speaking through his chapter. He said, I'm nearly 60. I pretty much feel the same as I did when I was a kid, at least in some ways, right? On the outside, I look older and people, I guess, know me. And of course, I've learned a ton of experience with my life so far, yet I'm still trying to figure out so many things. I still get confused by the unfolding of some events. I ponder why some souls show up in my path and wonder if life unfolds according to the destiny or if the whole ride is a random series of situations with no real meaning to them, which I doubt. My friend's point was profound for me. Be the grown-up in the room. It reminded me that no one other than you will ultimately make your life better. No help is on the way, and no savior in the shining armor will magically show up to place a silver spoon inside your mouth and crown upon your head. No brigade of helpers or cavalry of rescuers is en route to make you all into all you ever wanted to become as a human being and mold your reality into something special, exciting, and fulfilling. So important to be thinking about that, right? Like, and then this one too, he says, this makes me think of a young man I met when I visited a restaurant in Cape Town, one of my many trips to South Africa. He'd spent years in extremely dangerous gangs. One day he made the choice to break free. The owner of a restaurant wanted to help, so he gave him a job as a dishwasher. The young man used the chance to move up the ranks, falling in love with cooking in the process. And eventually he became one of the top chefs at the place. The establishment has made it onto the world's 50th best restaurants and named the best one in Africa.
That's cool.
I chatted with him at lunch and he asked what moved him to leave his old life. He paused thoughtfully and he replied, I saw too many of my friends dead and I didn't want to die. So I had to change. I realized no one's going to do this for me. I had to do it for myself. Yes, you really do need to be the one to help you and assume personal responsibility for the way your life looks and making improvements for it that will make it richer. Because in the room of life, you're a grown up now.
Yeah.
It makes me emotional because, you know, we work with a lot of people that just stay so stuck in their past. They stay so stuck in where they were. They stay so stuck and pissed at what someone didn't do for them or how they didn't make this or how they, and it's like, you are radically responsible for everything you do, period. You know, we had a beautiful, every weekend, we try to, we've been traveling a lot, but this weekend we spent about an hour and a half before this podcast and just mapped out our weeks, mapped out our businesses. Jamie and I went through with a fine tooth comb where he can make some improvements, where I can make some improvements, where we can, you know, be a seer a little bit deeper, where we can, you know, like, and we're just in this beautiful state of refinement. No jealousy, no, like no bitterness, no, we're not doing enough, none of that. It's like, okay, how can we make this better? Mm-hmm. There's got to be another better way. Like, how do we make it better? How do we serve more? What could we be doing that would, you know, help this more or our body team more or et cetera? Like, what could we be doing? And that to me is taking radical ownership and assessing the current situation. So one of the ways that I talk a lot about getting clarity in your life or getting clarity in where you are, and it kind of leads so well into, Jamie, what you were sharing about, you know, self-love and like radical ownership and being able to owning being that parent in the room, right? And or, you know, knowing what you said, it's like, yeah, even though I grew up with all this self-love and I grew up with this knowing of self-love and self-respect, mm-hmm. you didn't have to fight tooth and nail for it like many of the listeners are listening to or me or whatever that is. But it's a kind of like a harsh truth, you know, where, and I really felt this morning when we were taking ownership, and I even started noticing that I was writing in like when I was going to get my workout done, and my goal is 10 steps a day, 10,000 steps a day. I'm like, it's non-negotiable for me. Like this 2,000 steps a day is actually injuring my recovery. So right. who's going to take ownership of that? And then I started realizing, no, I need more space. I need to make more space in this day. Okay. No, this has got to change. No one's going to come do that for you, right? As soon as something's off our calendar, Jamie and I remove it right out of the calendar. So we see white space, breath. That gives me breath. Do you have space in your calendar? Or is everything jammed? Is every minute booked? Right? Because what happens is your lack of discipline is nothing but a lack of self-respect. And I'm really learning that. Right. And what I mean by that is discipline is doing the right thing for you and your goals, regardless of how you feel. And that is hard because mm-hmm. there's people that are like, that's so mean. You don't get it. It's so hard. And that is putting you totally in the backseat of your life. Yeah, it is hard. Like, wow. Like you're a freaking warrior and you've got goals. And you want to have longevity and you want to get your energy back up. And the only way to get your energy back up is to actually prioritize it, which is moving and having discipline, right? Like, what do you think about that?
I think that like, and you've really worked at this since I've known you the last 10 or 20 years. And, you know, we all have things from our past that we can look back on and go, man, that wasn't very good. That affected me in some way. But I think the moment you start not blaming, but the moment you start giving something, your past, an event, and it's not easy, I'm not saying it is, a person, the moment you give them credit or they're the reason for your lack of growth or success, the moment you start to blame others for that, you're dead in the water.
Mm-hmm. You've given all your power.
You're dead in the water. Mm-hmm. If you think your lack of success is because of other people, other things, other circumstances, and there's definitely things that can happen that can affect those. Absolutely. Like there's huge things that happen in the world all over. So that this isn't just a general brush, but I think for a lot of people who get stuck, they are stuck on other things, people, past events, and that's what stops them from moving forward and achieving any kind of quality, whatever you deem success in your life, and you have to make up your own definition of that. The moment you start blaming on others, you are dead in the water because mm-hmm. that's where your mind's going to go. And if you give that power to other things and people, how in the world are you ever going to do it alone? You're stuck because you actually don't think you're the cause of the reason you can be successful. Mm-hmm. That's the stuckdom,
you're
right?
You're giving your power away.
It's crazy.
You're literally handing your power over. And the only way to take that back is by becoming hopelessly devoted to Sandy D. I almost started singing, hopelessly devoted to you. Yeah, I think we all should go play that song. Like, tag me in it. Hopelessly.
I don't know the words. Anyway.
We have to become hopelessly devoted to our discipline. We have to know that discipline's not a dirty word. We have to become hopelessly devoted to what self-love looks like for us today in our grown-up life.
I can hear the eye rolls. No, I'm not. That's not a knock on you. I can hear the eye rolls. People are like, oh, discipline. Well, but it's actually true.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually true.
Yeah. Discipline is doing the right thing for you and your goals, regardless of how you feel. Yeah. Like if you respected yourself enough, you're going to make different choices.
Sure.
I still battle with this.
We all do.
Like there's no, like I definitely haven't made the right choices for me in every single choice this week for those fucking cookies.
Why did you buy them?
They're the danger zone.
We're going to sing another song.
Danger zone.
alone.
And then you ate one, so I was like, I will eat one.
Well, you know which ones they were. Never like again. Like no,
they were plant based, so I thought they were better.
They were plant based?
Yeah, weren't they good?
No.
Yeah.
Oh. they were like the cookie that would be good on their own, like they were the sweet store bought cookie on their own, but then the little bastards that were in them were the little M&Ms. Were they M&Ms?
I think so. Or Smarties? Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, it's too good. So, but I feel like this. It's like I'm laughing right now because it's like you would say no to instant gratification and you'd say yes to delayed gratification. So delayed gratification for me and my health is it takes 72 hours, right? Like we know this. It takes 72 hours of like consistently fueling your body, sleeping, energizing, hydrating to start feeling the effects of feeling good. 72 hours. But if you're constantly adding up in those little days, those little extra bites, those little extra things that, oh, that it doesn't matter. It's okay. The donut flapped in my face. Like it didn't.
Don't even talk about donuts.
Right? Like,
don't talk about donuts.
If it didn't, it would be like so important to be really remembering that. So it's like delayed gratification is how you're going to feel in the 3 days after you're not. So that's what we're going to commit to today, right? I leave on Tuesday with Tessie for an amazing trip. So I have today, tomorrow, and all day Tuesday to be 10 out of 10. Sauna, workout, walk, like just making really good informed decisions, getting enough, hitting all my protein and my macro goals, like non-negotiable.
Sex with your husband.
Well, that's it. Okay, that's two.
You should squeeze that in there somewhere.
I will definitely do that. You will. Maybe twice. But you, let's be serious.
We are serious. We've been saying two songs on this episode. We're serious and we're funny.
No one wants to know about your sex that you want. So you would do the thing if we are really devoted to our discipline. Honestly, this is what I'm really like. I wrote this down. Like, Kim, you would do the thing you know you need to do regardless of how you feel in the moment. And I'm working on that. So I want to implore all of you listening of like, hey, write this to yourself. Kim, you would do the right thing I would do the right thing that I know I need to do regardless of how I feel in this moment. Write that down because that will be a stop, right? It's like before you enjoy that drink of alcohol, is it numbing or are you enjoying the experience? Big difference, right?
Yeah.
Oh, is it numbing or are you just shoving it down and not tasting it? Again, no disrespect, completely just giving you an offering to stop, pause and think, right? And if you don't, it's usually because you don't trust yourself. You don't respect yourself. Or your ambition, or you know what's right. Like, what is that? And that's hard because I think for some of you, you're like, well, I guess I just fucked it all up then. No, but this is the work.
Well, feeling
it's the work.
Feeling the bad feelings is part of the work. And a lot of people don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Like, you know, there's no way I'm going to go to Disney and not enjoy some sort of sweet treat with Tessie, right? I'm going to do that. But there's a huge difference between enjoying that in the daylight in front of people with your daughter than doing it in the dark. And our shadow work, right? I'm loving learning into the dark work right now because it's there.
Yeah.
And we can't ignorantly live in the light. Right? We said that last night. We can't ignore, as much as it's fun, it's fine. Everything's fine. But your inner world is crumbling because you're not making the decisions that actually are aligning with your future self. These are really important conversations that we want to pull out today. And really just in a loving way, in a loving and supportive way.
Yeah.
Like we're all just trying to figure this out, right? Like it's one baby thing. Like what's one little step we can do a little bit differently this week, right? What's one little decision? Is it one more walk? Is it a little bit more water? Is it, you know, the aim of this and all of the work that we do is never to have you, is to have you feeling excited. And I can go do that. I can do that. I can not eat three pieces of bacon. I can enjoy one. And I'm going to like, for example, I'm just like giving examples, like these just little things, right? It's like these little baby things, because if you want to build discipline, don't focus on building discipline. Focus on building self-respect.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Don't focus on discipline, right?
Because it's can't. Like, it's actually impossible.
Yeah, it's like when you're like, okay, I'm going to be so disciplined this week. Yeah. No, I'm going to love myself so much this week. That is a change. Like, do you feel that shift? How can I love myself more this week?
That's deep.
How can I love myself more this week? Okay. Was that a loving decision? No, that was pretty shitty. Okay, well, good. I love you and I'm going to honor that and we're going to move forward. That's it. I literally, you hear me doing this stuff all the day, all the time, because it's like, I can't just be an asshole to myself. There's enough assholes in the world. Let's be honest. There are enough critics. There are enough people that are fucking, don't think you're all the things. Fuck, my God. Don't be that for yourself.
Yeah.
Because you got to be your own champion.
I just want to say, and we've talked about this before, like have the cookie. I'm not saying don't
that
because the thing,
but he did in the light.
Well, and I did, I did. And I enjoyed it. I had two cookies and I enjoyed them both different days, but I enjoyed them both. Yeah. Not because I was numbing, because the cookie was fucking delicious.
I love that.
No. And this is important stuff, right? I never want people to be like, oh God, you know, like Kim and I, We have our things that we love, like, but we try to communicate with each other and go, hey, are you doing that because you're enjoying it in the moment, in the light, as Kim says? Or are you doing that because you're trying to move away from something else?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's a big difference. And this isn't like rocket science for people. People know this, but maybe just different perspectives of it.
And if you're fatigued, like I definitely know I'm fatigued right now, because it's been a beautiful season of travel that I honestly am so grateful for the experiences I've had, and time zone differences really affect me. So I'm just really learning how to mitigate all that.
You got to revving up your engine and listen to her howl and roar.
What?
Metal under tension. Begging you to touch and go. Those were the words of Danger Zone.
Never mind. Oh my God, you're hilarious. I'm like, what?
I was going to keep reading them, but you weren't cluing in.
It's like that.
Up your engine.
It's anyway. Like that text you send. You see the kids when the kids send.
It's
Nothing compares to you.
Nothing compares
Sinead
to you.
Sinead O'Connor. Yeah, yeah. And you send a first line to your kid.
And they're like, what?
What are you talking about? Since you've been gone, I can do whatever.
Now we've sang three songs in this episode. We've given some advice, but let's wrap it up.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up. So we hope this was helpful. You know, I'm on absolute recover, restore, you know, healthiest year of my life in all aspects. Build out our beautiful businesses. Help other people to do the same.
Block out the white noise.
And block out the freaky noise.
And love yourself the best you can. And it's not, listen.
Blinders on.
It is work and it requires time. It won't happen tomorrow. But like that is kind of like, that's kind of everything.
Yeah.
Loving yourself.
Blinders on, social media off. Let's go make it happen. We love you.
You have been listening to the Fitz Life Unfiltered podcast with Jamie and Kim Fitzpatrick. Please share this with your friends, family, and everyone looking to level up in their life. Leave a review and smash the shit out of the subscribe button. All resources and contact info are in the episode notes. Thank you for listening.